Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the old days, people would sit and talk. Now, they stare into an HDTV or into a computer screen. Technology, though valuable, is a tool of the enemy to addict all of us and steal time better used for each other and for God. Today, more on this danger. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on the enemy inside your home.
You adulterous people, James said. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Friend of the world. Now, you just think back over the television programs and over the entertainment industry, and they are filled with what? Occultism, sensuality, and violence. And when you look at it, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what fuels the entertainment industry, by and large, with few exceptions. And you'll notice that whoever is a friend of the world, James says, is an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I hope you don't either. And yet, if we befriend the world, that's what the text says. Because it was the world that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was sin. Let's suppose you were to come to a home and there was a couple there and they had a box in which they kept a knife, a glass case. And they said, we just want you to admire this knife. Notice how symmetrical it is. Notice the perforation. Notice that it is stainless steel. It's about the right size. We admire this knife and we look at it for at least an hour a day. You say, well, that's interesting. That's a little weird. What about this knife? They say, well, you know, we had one son, and an intruder broke into our home, and he murdered our son, and this is the knife that he used. Well, that really seems strange, for sure. Something's wrong. When we admire sin, we admire the knife that killed Jesus because he died for us as sinners. And therefore, what we are doing is admiring what God hates. Do you see the depth of what James and John are really trying to tell us? Now, if you were to use the content test for everything that you and I watched on TV or saw on other venues, we would soon discover that the swamp would be drained pretty quickly, wouldn't it? The content test. There's a second test, and I refer to it, and it is really the control test. The control test. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, well, I'll actually read it there in the text. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Even if it passes the content test, the question is, does it control you? Even those things that may be lawful, that may be quite innocent, are you able to control them? You know, someone has defined idolatry is, it says idolatry is something within creation that is inflated to function as a substitute for God, can be a person, an institution, an image, or a pleasure. And so what we have is all of these images and these pleasures and this euphoria. And we say to ourselves, oh, I'm in charge. Probably not. The way in which you can discover whether or not you're in charge is simply this: quit. Quit it for a week or two and see if you can. You may discover you're not in charge at all. It is the illusion of being in charge. Years ago, I told you that here at the Water Tower, we were in the store doing some shopping, and there was a little kid that was in a little cart. And he was maybe 18 months or 2 years old, and he was crying profusely. And he had a little steering wheel on this little cart, and he was just taking that steering wheel and turning it to the right with all that he had. At the same time, he was going to the left. And the reason is because his mother was actually in charge and his steering wheel wasn't connected to anything that mattered. You say that you're in charge? You see if you can do without it for a week or two, and then you'll find out whether or not you are in charge. Well, we must hurry on. There is a third test. We have the content test, the control test. And as you might have guessed, I decided to have the other one also a C, and it is the clock test. I'll simply quote the verse, Ephesians 5:15. It says, redeeming the time. Now, modern translations say making the best use of the time. I like the literal translation. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How evil would the days have to get in order for you to redeem the time? The imagery there is to buy the time out of the marketplace, because you have all of these pressures for your time. And if you're going to take time for God and time for serving God, you're going to have to buy that time out of a whole host of various issues and pressures and opportunities. You buy the time. Redeem it. Now, simple fact is that oftentimes we think to ourselves that we're making an investment. You know, you're acquainted with ROI, return on your investment. Let's suppose that you watch television 2 hours a day. That's, 700 hours a year, and then you can begin to multiply that. If you multiply it by 10, I think you get around 7,000. As I frequently say, when it comes to arithmetic, I'm always as long as I'm right 90% of the time. I mean, who cares about the other 5%? So about 7,000 over 10 years. Now that's quite an investment of time. What's your ROI? What's your return on your investment? Does it make you a better person? Are you walking more closely with God? Do you have more information now that really helps you on the journey of life? Is that your rate of return? Just yesterday, I received an email from someone who told me that about someone I had met once who died of cancer. But apparently, his wife said that for the last years, all that he did was basically watch television. Can you imagine standing before Jesus and Jesus saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast listened to 10,465 hours of television. Enter into the joy of my Lord. I think, for example, seniors, they sometimes waste so much time watching TV, watching this and that, when they have so many years of productivity. A long time ago, I read about a woman who was so fed up watching television, and there she was in a senior home, and she decided to connect with a church and to get the names of all of their missionaries, and she began to write missionary letters to 70 different missionaries, not seven, but 70, and began to get interested in their lives and praying for them, and she lived productively until the day she died. What's your ROI, return on your investment? Now, I don't want to get too spiritual here, but since I'm on a roll, I might as well continue in the direction that I'm going. This is very convicting to me, and I hope it's convicting to you. What is it about the entertainment industry that is so important to us, meeting certain needs in our lives that apparently God is unable to meet? What about the pleasures of God on God's right hand? Are they not significant? You see, we are so far from the idea of pursuing God. This past week I was reading in the book of Isaiah where it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. And I thought, isn't it too bad that in our hurried life, most of us don't know what it is like to really seek God and find him satisfying? It was C.S. Lewis who said that God is the all-satisfying object. Is he or is he not? Now, with that, what I'd like to do is to give you five imperatives. You can write these down. I see this as essential. Each one could be an individual message, but here we go. Number one, what we must do is to recognize the spiritual nature of the conflict. to recognize the spiritual nature of the conflict. As the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of this age. That's what we are really up against, and that's why it is that we're so paralyzed in the face of so much misuse of technology. It is because we don't understand that at root we are in a spiritual battle, which is absolutely huge. This past week, several of us talked to law enforcement people here in the city of Chicago because there are those among us who would like to begin seriously to rescue those who are victims of sexual trafficking. And one of the things they said is that the internet has just changed everything. Nowadays, there's so much communication on the internet, so much available on the internet. It's a whole new day out there trying to enforce some decency laws and being able to capture those who are victimizing others. Do we realize the extent of this kind of communication and the power of the internet to seduce, to give out information that is harmful, to destroy? It's huge. We can't fight that in the energy of the flesh. We are up against huge spiritual forces, and we need to recognize that and to fight for our families and for ourselves. There's more that I could say about that, but we must hurry on. Number two, clean up your own act. Clean up your own act. Now let me speak very candidly here. In some instances, you may have to get rid of your television set. Do you remember months ago we had a Pure Life conference here at Moody Church? And the whole intention of the conference was to motivate us to live pure lives. And it talked about the media. We had seminars on that and so forth. And the lead man who actually spoke from this pulpit and inspired us and instructed us, I was having lunch with him afterwards. And I asked about his own personal life because he had been immoral. You remember he gave his testimony in the last 25 years. Lived with purity. And he said that he got rid of his television set, he said, about 20 years ago because he said, to this day, put me in a room with a remote control and a television set with an innumerable number of channels, and he says, I will be gone. In other words, the propensity and the desire may never go away, and we need to be able to accept that. But what we need to do is to put in place various parameters and various structures so that we don't even have the opportunity of going there. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I think what I just said is pretty radical, isn't it? Most of the time we want to manage the media, and certainly that would be our goal. But sometimes what we need to do is to simply say no, make some radical decisions that we are going to starve the flesh. The series of messages is intended to help us do just that.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today we heard more of The Enemy Inside Your Home, Pastor Lutzer's seventh message on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, principles to help your family avoid technology addiction and reset their focus on God. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.